You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church. All right, the scripture reading today is 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 8 through 12. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the lying working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness under thy righteousness, and that perish because they might receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, and for this that they all might be damned who believed in not the truth, but he had pleasure in unrighteousness. Father God, we add your blessing to the reading of your holy word. For it's Christ's name we pray, in name we ask it. Amen.
Well, Sippy and I cash in on some insurance to do with glasses. Got our eyes examined, and I've got some different glasses on. And these are what are called workstation glasses, meaning they're supposed to be put on when you're working with your computer and stuff. And for me, I can see it at a distance only with glasses on. I'm really short-sighted, but at a distance I need these things. So these are very weird kind of progressive glasses, and they work really nice at a workstation with a computer in front of you, whereas my other ones, I had to keep on taking them off and then sticking my head inside the computer to try and see it, you know, and all this kind of stuff. So I'm going to try these out. Hopefully it's going to work well for me. I don't end up with headaches. So, but I was just thinking, you know, all of these things. And the lady who examined us and looked at our eyes, she was such a nice woman. I mean, wow, what a beautiful attitude. And just, I could see she's well-trained, you know, and she's loving her job, and no doubt she's making the money. And I thought to myself, wow, isn't it a blessing to have training and be good at something and then enjoy your job? And Seppi and I, we often talk about this with our jobs, that we enjoy them so much. You know, we get up in the morning, hey, it's Monday. I mean, I laugh because there was this sign, and Seppi's actually got a picture of it, because I took a picture of this sign. It was on a bridge in New Zealand. And I was sort of making fun about this idea, you know, that people hate Mondays, got to go to work. You know, you just got rid of this beautiful thing called a weekend, and now you got to go to work on a Monday. And they had this sign up there, and this guy, this fresh-eyed guy, is jumping through the box onto his desk, and he's looking at the computer, and he says, yes, Monday! China. Fight against that idea that you know, it's terrible to go to work on a Monday. Well, we're kind of like that, you know. We like going to work on the Monday. It is hard, but it's still enjoyable. We enjoy going, and so we are thankful for work. Well, we are moving in through this study on right division. Just before we begin today, let's have a word of prayer. Our God and Father, we thank thee for this time, for the scriptures, Lord, that have been preserved, they're inspired. Thank thee, our God, that we can read them in our mother tongue, and that we can read the inspired word which has been given to us, preserved, and that we can show our children, show friends, relatives, and acquaintances the wonderful truths that are in there, and also for our personal selves, that we can be guided, knowing how to live and what would be pleasing to thee. And we ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen. Well, I did have some really neat websites about the founding generation and the sort of things that they studied. I was really interested in seeing whether anybody had gone through the writings of the founding generation to see what they thought was important to read. You know, have you thought about making up a reading list, things that you must read? These are things that must be read. It would be very interesting to know what the founding generation read. And I did come across this great website which does exactly that. And it lists them in order of the most frequent writings that they went to for inspiration and what they considered to be important. And unfortunately, there was there's a way of incorporating this into PowerPoint, which is with a plugin, which I never got to actually install, but I took a screenshot, and I'll show you that later on. So we last time looked at this idea of a mystery in 1 Corinthians 15:51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Noticing that this has a context, again, that preterism has this idea that everything was fulfilled in AD 70. But if you look at this, you notice we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Certainly the preterists will see, well, see, they had that idea that in their lifetime there will be some that would be changed, and so that must have happened. And what they don't consider is the fact that this was written during the Acts period, when Paul was giving a real offer to Israel to repent. And subsequent to their failure to repent, something changed and something came in, which was associated not with a mystery, but the mystery given to Paul the prisoner. And we were looking at how this idea of change is such a fundamental idea when you go from one thing to another, and how great a change it will be. And I was just loving this hymn. This is number 359. We just sung this hymn in the last stanza there. When end life's transient dream. It is like a dream, isn't it, sometimes? You look at life. Life is weird in some ways, because it just seems like yesterday I was a little kid running around, snotty-nosed little kid running around, and I remember those things clearly. I remember myself with little skinny little legs and running through the fields, running after other little kids. I can even remember certain instances where it comes back to my mind, things that I said, things that I did. And yet, now where am I? I'm in my 50s and here I am in front of you guys. And it's just like that, transient dream. When death's cold sullen stream, and you know, you think about how awful that is, an idea, death's cold sullen stream, shall over me roll. Blessed Saviour, then in love, fear and distrust remove. Oh, bear me safe above a ransomed soul. That's right, we're ransomed. And while these negative things can come over our minds, and if we contemplate them, sometimes they could become even overwhelming, yet before us is this idea that we are redeemed. And that there is a change coming. And it's a fundamental change, man. And we're going to come up of that grave new, man. New body. New life. Eternal life ahead for us. Then this thing here, which I think is one of the most difficult passages in the Scriptures. And because of how it's written, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Now, I want us to think about this again, because I think there's a lot in this. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Let's go back there to 2 Thessalonians. Just read a little bit of the context. This is 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 1. Now, we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him. So there's no doubt about it that there's going to be a gathering unto Christ as he comes through the clouds. And when he comes through the clouds, this is absolutely prophetical, and this connects exactly what Christ and the angel talked about. And that the fact is that in the same way that he left, so he shall come. And there is going to be this gathering. Our gathering together unto him. Paul has this hope when this was written. And it says, that ye be not soon shaken in mind. So, okay, there's problems here because people can be shaken in mind. And so here we have the coming of Christ. The coming of Christ, and
our gathering together unto him. There is a meeting that takes place. And Paul talks about this meeting again. You'll read it here, of course. But you also read it in 1 Corinthians. And it relates to a specific time, the last trump. Now, the word trump is the word salpinx. Salpinx. Salpinx is a trumpet. At the last trumpet. Well, where do you read about a series of trumpets where there is a last one? Well, that's the seventh trumpet. That's part of the revelation that John gives us. And we read about this. And at that time, the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever. And he shall reign forever and ever. Beautiful hymn and song that we love to hear. We must be always thankful for these great authors that can put music together. Have you ever pondered how it is that these great authors are around about the same time? Why is it that this inspiration of music just flourished for a very short time and then gone? Why is that? It's really unusual, isn't it? You think about the founding generation. Just God's timing, get the right people together, and then bang! Where are they together today? Where's that kind of insight today? Well, there's people who have parts of it, but do you really trust people together to have a re-look at the Constitution and rewrite the Constitution? Would you trust people today to rewrite the Constitution? No, I'm sorry. No, I don't trust people to go anywhere near the Constitution. You know what I mean? Timing seems to be in the Scriptures. Timing is going to be in this particular passage. Timing is what I think this is all about. Timing in God's mind. So this is an event which relates to the parousia. And the parousia, the coming of Jesus Christ. Okay, and it's according to prophecy. There's no doubt about it. And when we read here, it says, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us. And if you just hold your place there and just go to the very last verses of 2 Thessalonians, it says this in verse 16. This is in chapter 3 and verse 16. Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. The Lord be with you all. The salutation of Paul with mine own hand, which is the token in every epistle, So I write. That was his manner. He put proof on his epistles. He put an autograph in there that became a sign, a token that people could look at and say, oh yeah, that's from Paul. That's Paul. See, people are not going to be pushed aside by other writings because Paul had a very smart system going. He would have someone that would take down his words and write them for him. Yes, we read about Tertius, for example, who would write down his words. But what he would do is say, okay, thanks, Tertius, now give me the quill. And he'd write into the manuscript with his own hand something that people could go back to and look at and say, yep, that's from Paul. Not that other so-called epistle, which is a fabrication. Isn't it interesting that people have always been about fabricating? Have you ever seen such fabrication as we see today? Oh, man! Wholesale fabrication. So that now I'm even reading about where data, I mean, you can get people that will take data and they'll do a faulty analysis and they'll hoodwink people by some faulty analysis. But what they're doing now is they are actually going into the data and rewriting the data so that any analysis you want to make, any legitimate analysis you want to make, will be rubbish because the data itself has been played with.
How remarkable. What kind of corruption is going on? Well, in those days, in Paul's day, there were people trying to corrupt the Word of God by rewriting things or writing things and pretending to be Paul. Man, thank God that God is in control and He's preserved His Word. We can have it. I often pray like that because I think we take it totally for granted, don't we? We take the Scriptures totally for granted. You know, there are people around the world that die, literally die, so that they can read the Scriptures. Or if they are found with the Scriptures, they die. And yet we take it completely for granted in much of the Western world. It says in verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means. Deception can come in many, many ways, many forms. For that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. This is the apostasia. The apostasia. The apostasy. The falling away. Now, people who are trying to get a rapture into anything or everything will often try and say, oh, this falling away is actually a falling up. They try and make this word to mean, oh, no, this means the rapture. And they make this our hope today. They make this, that is, the hope of the one body of whom Christ is here. They try and make this our hope. And in their zeal to try and get us in there, they will make all sorts of crazy declarations. Some of them extremely, what I would say, smart people. Now here we come to an important point. Because you're smart doesn't make you right. There are plenty of smart people who are completely wrong. Wrong. Totally wrong. So you say, well, how can that be? How come smart people can be wrong? Because they base their assumptions on things which are fundamentally outside of revelation. What can you know? Talk to your own kid about something. I remember Reuben. He would ask me, he used to get into this why thing. All kids go through this why thing. You tell them, now this is how this works and this is how it happens. And then why? Well, because this is connected to that and that's connected to this thing over here. Why? And then sooner or later you get to some sort of hierarchical position of having to say, that's the way it is. Right? That's the way it is. And that's true because we as mortal beings, we cannot get to the finality of the why. Only God can. Only God can give us some kind of semblance of understanding. And because of the finiteness of our own brain, He can't tell all of it to us either. We're just creations. We are simple creations. Compared to God, I mean. Compared to God, we're simple. We're complex compared to many things around us. Man, we were talking on, I'm sorry to waste too much time on this, but we were on this conversation in the car about, have you ever thought about a little baby in the womb? At one stage, this little baby didn't have a heart pumping, right? The heart apparently forms very early in the stages of development. But at some stage, there was a startup of that heart. It began pumping. When did it start pumping? It can't pump when it's not formed. And it's got to take time to form, right? So at some stage, it's going to start pumping. Don't you find that miraculous? And here you have people. Janice's mother, 99 years of age. Well, actually, the heart has probably been pumping for, what, 100 years? If you count the time in the womb. 100 years! That heart has been pumping. How remarkable. You go to bed at night, the thing's been pumping. But just think about it. There was a time when you existed, but your heart wasn't pumping, and then it began to pump. What a miraculous thing. God, the biochemical engineer, man. How can it be? How could you organize this? It takes an infinite amount of intelligence to be able to do this kind of thing. Only God can do it. Well, we're getting off topic a little bit, but it is a remarkable thing. And then it says, there's got to be this apostasy first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, the son of waste, perdition. Now, it says a revelation. Yeah, that's right. Jesus Christ is having a revelation, and so is the Antichrist having a revelation. He is going to have a revelation, but there has to be the right time. There's a timing involved here. And you can see, even in this particular context, there must be apostasy first, and then something happens. The man of sin, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Well, there is no temple, right? There's no temple now, but there was. The temple, therefore, for this to be completed and for this to come true, the temple must be rebuilt. It has to be. Otherwise, he can't do this. It has to happen. And then it goes on and it says, verse 5, remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. Boy, do we need a good telling off sometimes. We forget the things that are important. And it says, and now ye know that you know what withholdeth. Okay. Let me just get into this. Only he who now letteth will let. That's verse 7. I'll just hold our place there and we'll get to that. It says in verse 6, and now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. Time. That's my point. Timing. There is, in God's outworking, a time. And he will work with us human beings. We have our free will. Yeah, but God is in control and he can move through our free will in such a miraculous way that his timetable will be fulfilled. And he says this, and verse 6, and you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. There is someone who is withholding. Withholding what? Well, the revelation of the Antichrist. And
he's holding it back by virtue of the fact that there has to be a timetable. So over here we have this timetable, God's timetable, and what has to happen is that Satan has to be kicked out of the heavens. Read about this in Revelation 12. It's got to happen that he's got to be kicked out of the heavens first, and then what happens is the Antichrist comes out of the abyss. So what we have is a strange thing. We have Satan is bound to a realm. Satan. How do you like my purple ink here? Satan is bound to this realm, the aerial regions, but then the Antichrist is kept in the abyss. The abyssos. And he's kept there. Satan has to be brought down to the earth, cast out of the heavens, and comes down to the earth. And then, after that, what comes up is the Antichrist. The Antichrist has to come up after that. Satan is therefore bound. And when it says in verse 7, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Well, the mystery of iniquity is this secret to do with the fact that Satan is somewhere in this region, of this aerial region, and the Antichrist cannot come until he is kicked out. Now watch this.
If you follow my little note here, I'm going to bring it across. There it is. Here it is here. I attempted something. Now, others have done this before me, all right? And Charles Welsh has a similar interpretation to what I'm showing you here. So what I've done here, I've made something which is something that is not a translation, it's not a paraphrase, and it's not an interpretation. It's some kind of conglomerate. Okay? So this is what I'm doing. So here is the Greek in front. It says, and now... you, put the English below here, you, the Thessalonians, know who is the restrainer. And this is the Satan. You know who is the restrainer. The one who is preventing the Antichrist from being revealed now. Now, not, let me explain. He is not preventing it in the sense that he is in control of the Antichrist, but... he is preventing it in the sense that God has his timetable about when Satan's going to be kicked out. These events have to happen first. So, that's this, the sense that I'm meaning here. So let's read again. And now you know, that is the Thessalonians know, who Satan is, who is the restrainer, the one who is preventing Antichrist from being revealed now. He is doing this in order that this same lawless one be revealed, who is currently in the abyss at just the right time, so that this lawless one be revealed at just the right time. So I'm trying to make it clear what I mean, but in making it clear what I mean, sometimes it sort of makes it more complicated. So this is a very difficult passage. So I'll read it again. And now you know who is the restrainer, the one who is preventing the Antichrist from being revealed now. He is doing this in order that the same lawless one be revealed at just the right time. And then, coming down to verse 7, for the mystery of lawlessness is working already. Now let me just show you something about the Greek text here. For the mystery... so I'm going to give it to you as much as is possible in the literal order of the words. Now, in Greek, they do something weird with the order of words. And when you translate into English, generally speaking, you have to make sense out of the words by putting them in a different order. But if you stick to the same order, which is how the words would come out of the mouth of the Greek speaker, then you get a sense of the importance of it. Let's have a look at this. For the mystery already is working of lawlessness. So we would normally translate this, for the mystery of lawlessness is working already, is already working. So that's already there, working here. And here, tais enomias, that is of lawless. Can you see? Nomos is law. Nomos. And the A in the front, or alpha, that's called an alpha privative. That means that you negate it. So this is of lawlessness. So, for the mystery already is working. That's the one of lawlessness. See, that's the sense. So he's saying... mystery already working, the one of lawlessness. That's the emphasis. The order of the words would say it like that. And then it goes on and it says, I'll now give you my sort of rough paraphrase translation interpretation. For the mystery of lawlessness is working already and is only Satan's timetable that is steadfastly withholding Antichrist's appearance until Satan be removed from the aerial regions by God's judgment on him and his angels. That's basically the idea of what's happening. And so you've got two kind of compartments going on. Satan is bound to a region, the aerial region, and the Antichrist is bound to the abyss. And Satan has to be removed from that region and put on earth before the Antichrist can come up out of the abyss. That's basically what's going on. Well, it's complicated, I think you'd agree. And if you go down here, in verse 8, And then it says, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. So, and then shall that wicked be revealed. See, it's got this timetable. This, all this has to do with one beautiful timetable. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan. There it is. Satan is the one who is behind the whole thing. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan.
So, if Satan is to work in some way, he's got to be removed from this aerial region and be allowed some dominion of how he's going to work. And so, the Antichrist, who's now coming after this working of Satan, it can proceed because Satan now has been allowed this dominion and work.
And it goes on, and it says, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. Yeah, lots of lying wonders associated with this. And it says here in verse 10, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. That they received not the love of the truth. Can you see here? It says in verse 11, and for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. Wait a minute. In verse 10, it says, because they receive not the love of the truth. They would not receive the love of the truth. And then in verse 11, for this cause God sends them strong delusion. Can you see that there's one extreme to say that God just causes everything. God made this person to be evil. And then the other side is to say, wait a minute, this person chose an evil path. And then as a consequence of their choice, God then puts them into even more condemnation. Both are working here. It would be an extreme position to take one over the other. Look what it says. It says this in verse 12, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth. Oh, that they all might be damned that believe not the truth. There's their action. There's condemnation. But had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because... Now look at this. We're coming to the study of Calvinism. I want you to see this. This is one of the big verses. Look what it says. Because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. How? Through sanctification of the Spirit. That's the separation of the Spirit. Wait, it doesn't finish. And belief of the truth. On one hand, you've got sanctification by the Spirit. There's a choice going on, yes. But it's also based upon your belief of the truth. Now, unless you're going to say that God forced you to believe, then there is a choice of your own in there. And that choice that God made is based upon, in part, your belief. Or you're not believing, right? If you don't believe, hey, he will then confirm you in your rebellion, right? Well, anyway, we're out of time, but you can see we're coming into good stuff. So we're going to move into Calvinism soon. Let us pray. Our God and Father, we thank Thee for this time, for the great truth of the Scriptures. We pray, Lord, for each person here, those people who are listening and watching these tapes and messages. We pray, Lord, that they would be encouraged, Lord. We thank Thee for the Bible rightly divided, for the book of books that has been preserved to us, the fact of the revelation of the mystery, which, Lord, once we understand the false notions of preterism and other ideas that men have come up with to try and understand from their perspective what's going on. Lord, we pray that you would use this church, bless thy word through it, and we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.
His name is
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.